DiscerningHearts.com, in cooperation with the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, presents A Sister of St. Therese, Servant of God Léonie Martin, Bearer of Hope, with Father Timothy Gallagher. Father Gallagher is a member of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, a religious community dedicated to retreats and spiritual direction according to the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola. He is featured on several series found on the Eternal Word television network. He's also the author of numerous books on the spiritual teachings of St. Ignatius of Loyola and the Venerable Bruno Lanteri, founder of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, as well as other works focused on aspects of the spiritual life. A Sister of St. Therese, Servant of God Léonie Martin, Bearer of Hope, with Father Timothy Gallagher. I'm your host, Chris McGregor.
The next letter takes us now to Léonie at 8 years of age. And now something else comes. So this is the year 1871, which is the year of the Franco-Prussian War, when the Germans invade and defeat France. And the repercussions are very real in this small city of Alençon. There's a bombardment. The family has to take refuge in the cellar. When the city is defeated, 25,000 Prussian troops march through the city and they watch this. And then they are obliged, as many others in the city of Alençon, to house. In their case, they are assigned 9 of these German soldiers who take over the first floor of the house. During the bombardment, the family takes refuge in the cellar. And during the time that the soldiers are here in the house, Léonie takes refuge in the cellar. And we have her described just sitting on a stool, living down there to avoid having to deal with these German soldiers and the danger and the upset of the family. Léonie would go through 3 wars in her life. This was the first one, when she is just 8 years old. Now you can imagine what this can mean for a young girl whose life is already so unstable and so difficult in so many ways, now to have the additional suffering of going through a time of not only a war, but a defeat, and one that touches her own family home, actually enters right into the family home with all the fear. You know, how are these soldiers going to treat the family? Just what's going to happen? In fact, if you read Zélie's letters, she resolves to treat the soldiers well, with politeness and with courtesy. And so there were no major struggles of any kind. But you can see this 8-year-old girl afraid, you know, day after day, sitting on a stool in the cellar. What's the emotional impact of this going to be? This is a young girl in whose life there's no stability. Everything is changing. Nothing seems to go well. And through all of it, physical frailties, emotional struggles, and struggles with any kind of learning. Zélie writes, she's writing to her sister-in-law, "I'm not sure if you know that the Prussians have been in our home since Monday morning at 7 o'clock. They marched in front of our house until 1 o'clock in the afternoon. There were 25,000 of them. I can't describe our anxieties. Monday, around 3 o'clock, all the doors were marked with the number of enemy soldiers to be housed. A big sergeant came to ask us to inspect the house. I took him up to the first floor while telling him we have 4 children. Fortunately for us," so at this point, the next child, Helene, has been born. "Fortunately for us, he didn't try to go up to the second floor. Finally, they made us take 9 in all." And then she says later in the life, "The town is in desolation. Everyone is crying except me. A projectile smashed a storefront very close to us. We had to go down into the cellar." So that's said rather briefly, but we can just imagine the impact emotionally of this on Léonie. All right, still when Léonie is 8 years old, this is Zélie writing to her sister-in-law, Céline. Now, we have the first attempt to try to do something a little more formal with regard to Léonie's studies. They've already had her go to a school in Alençon, where the oldest 2 girls went. For the first time, she attempts to enter an educational institution and it goes badly. She has to return home. And Zélie's great hope is that her older sister, Élise, Sister Marie d'Ossité, in the Visitation Convent at Le Mans, where they have a boarding school, her sister teaches in this boarding school, and where the oldest 2 girls who do go, and that's where they get their education as boarders. So they would spend the academic year there, return at Christmas and Easter for vacations at home, and then spend the summers at home. And this is where Marie and Pauline got their education. And the third daughter now is Léonie, and Zélie, with great confidence in her older sister Élise, and knowing that Léonie will still, in a very real sense, be in the family there with her aunt and the two older sisters, has great hope that Léonie can go to this boarding school and that this will make the difference in her life. So she writes to her sister-in-law, "I told my sister," so that's Élise, "about my problem regarding Léonie's studies. She thought about it and said, 'I have to try.' She found the mother superior and asked to take the little girl and look after her until the vacation. So Léonie has been at the Visitation Monastery for several days with her sisters. She was delighted to go. I hope they'll be able to keep her." She's not sure of this because the child is so unruly and so poor in her studies. "Since I know that she's in such good hands, on my side, I see myself so calm, it seems to me like I'm in heaven." So from the endless battles and struggles with Léonie at home and her undisciplined character and the shouting and the struggles and the health problems, for her as a mother to know that her daughter is in the best possible hands and not at home just brings a kind of peace that is sort of like a dream for her. And she hopes that this will go well. We can probably already guess that things are going to go a little differently.
Father Gallagher, could I ask a question at this point?
Sure.
As I'm listening to you, and I'm sure there will be many parents out there and people and family members who are going to be able to relate in some ways to what they're hearing. Again, it would be very bold of me to make a statement or a diagnosis, as it were, because I don't have the background except for being the parent of two children in the autism spectrum. And what you've described up to this point, even as you said, when she had smallpox and she had convulsions, and that would connotate a high fever and a number of other things that can affect the body and the mind and everything else. What I'm hearing, especially with her struggles with education and being able to be taught, many children in the autism spectrum, for example, have those same type of struggles. Now there seems to be a greater awareness, and so many schools, municipalities, other things are trying to do things to help reach those children one-on-one. But they appeared, before they had an adapted education, to be not very bright. It's a language disorder. It's very difficult to write. It's hard to speak in sentences that are familiar with people that they rather speak in statements. Again, it'd be bold of me to say that she had something in the autism spectrum or even Asperger's syndrome or anything like that. Boy, but it sure sounds as though those types of struggles, we can understand that. When the soldiers would come into the home, the sound of men's voices, the sounds of things that are happening would be such a struggle that for a child in the spectrum, all they want to do is escape and hide. You know, they get very focused and they have to shut it out because there are no filters. And it can be very much a struggle. So a lot of what she seems to be experiencing, many family members are going to be able to say, wow, I can relate to that. Even the disruption in behavior and the responses to things, trying to go to church, for example, to sit quiet and don't say something inappropriate is a struggle. It kind of just pings my heart. I hope you don't mind me interjecting all of this. But in the hopes of Zélie, can you help me? You know, is there a hope? I mean, just what you just said in that last letter, that's what so many people are experiencing in the love for that child. And there are hopes that something can help them. Maybe I'm not capable. Maybe someone else can.
Well, you know, as I mentioned earlier, there still is need for a lot more study and research and writing. I did my best to see if I could find anywhere any psychologist who who had done an in-depth study on Léonie enough to attempt some kind of a diagnosis, have been unable to find that. In various presentations on her, various things are suggested. And one of the commentators does suggest something along the lines of autism. Another one proposes that she might have been dyslexic, and that would not have been something that they would have caught at the time. And there'll be other factors that we'll see as the story unfolds. But I would just say this, if it's true that she does have a condition somewhere along the autistic spectrum, then this is an incredibly hopeful story. Because again, I don't want to anticipate, but one of the most powerful things, and this is one of the reasons why there is such an interest in Léonie today, is because she witnesses to the fact that with faith and with the proper support from and love and encouragement from a family and others, more growth and fruitfulness is possible than one would ever dare to imagine early on in the person's life. We'll see this in Tse-Li, where she'll say, I'm just hoping against hope, you know, using that biblical phrase, because she doesn't see any reason for hope, although she never lost hope. Then Léonie's story is an amazing story of the potentialities for growth far beyond what we might deem possible when we look at the struggles of a child, if in fact Léonie did share something of the condition of autism. It's beyond me to decide that. All I can do is relate what is out there thus far in the research on her. And probably people, as you're saying, who have dealt directly with that may be the best ones to judge. You know, it's very interesting, the parallels that you've described.
Yeah, and even if the day were to come and that diagnosis is not necessarily one that is attributed to her, the struggles, the experience, the reactions, that I think is what makes it so relatable. I think the importance of Tse-Li, for example, in the lives of those who may be saying and experiencing the same things that she has said. We're not alone. That you're not alone, and that here is someone who is speaking in your voice as well, whether it's female or male. You know, mother, father, grandmother, grandfather, aunts, uncles, as you're reading these letters, it's heart-piercing to hear how the openness of the family, well, maybe I can help. And even the prayers of the saints, that extraordinary message of hope in the what prayer can offer, that united prayer, you know, that novena that was said. There's so many layers to this incredible family and what they have to offer the world. It's kind of breathtaking, isn't it?
Mm. As we were saying earlier, and as is very evident as you go through this, this was a mother who had a very difficult task as a mother and became a saint. Now, sanctity is not excluded from a family because of these kinds of struggles. And what's striking is, you know, we are reading the letters of a canonized saint about a servant of God, her daughter.
Mm.
It's just an amazing thing.
If I could add this, I mean, just that point is so important because Tse-Li didn't write as much about Thérèse because Thérèse was so much younger. And so there was the writings of her and those little snippets we've glommed onto with all our might because they're so important to us. And yet we have more about this child. And the fact that it's rising up in this time, their witness, I think it's truly a gift, a truly a gift from God for those who are seeking that type of saintly relationship, can I say?
Well, we're still very, very much at the beginning of the story, and a lot more will unfold as we go along, but it really is a powerful story of hope, just a wonderful story of hope that you cannot read or go through the life of Léonie without saying there is no human condition, physical, emotional, academic, wartime, whatever it is, which closes the door to sanctity. What it's really saying is, you know, it's every one of us. Every one of us has the conditions that we need to become holy, as this mother did and this child eventually would do in her life.
We'll return to A Sister of St. Therese, Servant of God, Léonie Martin, Bearer of Hope, with Father Timothy Gallagher in just a moment. This is Chris McGregor. The work of Discerning Hearts really could not continue without your prayers and support. Between now and December 31st, please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift. Click the Donate button on discerninghearts.com or inside the Discerning Hearts free app. Your generous support will allow us to continue the programming you have come to expect from us, like those from Father Timothy Gallagher, Dr. Anthony Lillis, Monsignor John Esef, Archbishop George Lucas, and so many more. Please prayerfully consider supporting our mission, which is dedicated to those on the spiritual journey. Thank you, and God bless from all of us at Discerning Hearts. A prayer of St. Ignatius of Loyola.
Take, Lord, and receive all my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my entire will, all that I have and call my own. You have given all to me. To you, Lord, I return it. Everything is yours. Do with it what you will. Give me only your love and your grace. That is enough for me. Amen.
We now return to A Sister of St. Therese, Servant of God, Léonie Martin, Bearer of Hope, with Father Timothy Gallagher.
Get a kind of an overview of Léonie, her struggles, and then we'll resume. So we left Léonie at the school at Le Mans in the hope that with her aunt's help that something might change. But let's go back and look at the context of this. So Léonie is 2 years old. Her younger sister, Hélène, is born. Hélène dies when she's 5 years old. Hélène is recognized by everyone. You see this in Zélie's letters too. She was a really special child. Everybody loved her. She was just sweet. Even when this five-year-old child is close to death, she's consoling her mother. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Now, in the Martin family, you have the two oldest sisters. You have Marie and Pauline, who were born close together. And they would kind of be companions. They would share a room. They would be companions throughout their lives. Then you have Léonie and Hélène, who are born close together, just a year apart. And everything looks like they are going to form a pair as well. Some of the other children die early on. And then you have Céline and Thérèse at the youngest end of the family. And as we know, they are an inseparable pair, sharing a room, sharing an intense relationship of closeness. All right, that's the setup of the children. The eczema starts when she's 2 years old. Her paternal grandfather dies when she's 2 years old. Now, when Hélène is born, Zélie was able to nurse the oldest children. But as she grew more frail physically herself, she was no longer able to. So that when Hélène is born, at this point, she sends the children to another woman as their nurse. This was a common thing at that time. And it was a very hard thing because generally the women would only accept to nurse the child if the child came to live with them. This is what happens with Thérèse in her first year, for example. So what this means is that the child is born and then almost immediately leaves the home, which is difficult for the child and obviously difficult for the family, the mother and the family. So Hélène is born, but she immediately leaves the home. When Léonie is 3 years old, her first brother, Joseph, is born. He also immediately leaves the home to be nursed, and he dies 5 months later. At this point, Hélène returns. When Léonie is 4.5 years old, the second of her little brothers is born, immediately leaves the home to be nursed. When Léonie is 5 years old, the second of her brothers also dies at the age of 8 months. And then a week later, her maternal grandfather dies. At that point too, just a month and a half later, the two oldest, Marie and Pauline, leave the home to go off to the boarding school in Le Mans. So you have this large family, but But because of the early death of these children, because they're sent out to be nursed, and because the oldest two go off to the boarding school, Léonie is alone. The two youngest, Céline and Thérèse, are not yet born at this point. She has the illnesses that we mentioned. When she is 5 years old, Célie, who simply can't keep up with everything with the business and the children, she hires a maid. And this is Louise Marais. And we'll just mention that when Léonie is 5 years old, Louise comes, and she's going to be with the family until Célie's death. We'll be returning to her as we go along. When Léonie is 6 years old, Céline is now born, immediately leaves the home to be nursed. This is followed by the death of Helene at this point. So, six brothers and sisters, and she's alone. And this would be her condition in the family for the rest of her family life. The oldest two would be together and share life. The youngest two would be together, but Léonie would be alone. In fact, if you would visit the family home at Les Buissonnets in Lisieux, when the family later moves to Lisieux, you can see from the floor plan, at one end of the upstairs corridor, you have the room where Marie and Pauline live. At the opposite end of the corridor, you have the room where Thérèse and Céline share a room. And in a small room along that corridor, you have the room where Léonie lived alone. She suffered from this. She felt it very much. That just the way that things happened, if she'd had Helene, this sweet, lovely, wonderful child with whom to pair up the way the others had, things might have been different. But Helene, as I mentioned, sadly dies when she's 5 years old. All right, when the next following year, when Léonie is seven, Céline now returns to the family. And then another girl, Mélanie Thérèse, is born. But she's also immediately sent out to be nursed and tragically dies within 2 months because of neglect on the part of the nurse. Now, imagine this young girl, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, going through all of this, these births and deaths and coming and going and being left alone. And in fact, of the five daughters who live, she's the only one who goes through all of this because the oldest two are off at the boarding school and are not present for much of this. The youngest two are not born yet when a lot of this is happening. So again, destabilizing event after destabilizing event. And this young child who is already struggling physically and emotionally and in terms of her studies is just, and not only this, but imagine the suffering and the worry in the parents and the anxiety and the sadness as there's one death after another. And she lives through all of this. And then, as I mentioned, when the war comes, when she's 8 years old, the family moves within Alençon when she's 8 years old. All right, that brings us up to her first effort, her first attempt to be a boarder in the boarding school at Le Mans. But you can see that just the situation in which this, well, la pauvre Léonie, you know, the poor Léonie, the situation that she's gone through.
Wow. The Father in Heaven allowed all this in this child's life. Is it possible that this story is going to be even more remarkable than Thérèse's story?
It's an amazing story. Yeah.
Wow.
Right. Now, in this case, we're going to switch to some letters written by Élise, or Sister Marie d'Ossité, who describes what happens with Léonie in this attempt to have her at the boarding school. So she's writing now to her brother Isidore and her sister-in-law Céline. So Léonie is 8 years old and she's now at the school. Here I am like mother of three children, because Pauline and Marie, the oldest two, are there, because I now have Léonie, who arrived about mid-June. So this is about maybe 3 weeks later. It is a continual battle. I would have liked her mother to have found the right place to send her to, but I can see that it has to be me who bears this cross. Now that gives you an insight. Now this is a sister who is a religious. She's not a married woman. She's a religious. She's living a cloistered contemplative life. She is teaching in a school, but she's well aware that having Léonie and having to care for Léonie is, well, she calls it a cross. It's a burden, continual battle. I will try, therefore, to summon all my strength. And you can almost hear the repetition of Zélie's efforts to deal with Léonie. Just think, on top of that, I don't even like the bother of children. It is completely incompatible with my character and my taste for peace and quiet. As I say, this is not a selfish woman writing, but this is a contemplative religious who just isn't used to these kinds of battles and struggles. However, God's will be done. It is for His glory, irrespective of our personal gratification. I hope, however, that I will make something of her, and with God's help, we will get there. This child loves me a great deal. All right, this is another side of Léonie, which is appearing now for the first time in the correspondence. She really had a very affectionate heart. This child loves me a great deal. She always did have a great deal of affection and love for her aunt. And it is surprising because I punish her so much. I don't spare her, and it is necessary. Without that, we wouldn't be able to do anything with her, and she fears nobody but me. It was the only way to attempt to control her. She was so unruly and so disruptive. Just a little bit later, during this same stay at the boarding school, and now we've already got the conclusion here, Léonie will not be coming back straight away. It just didn't go well. It was too disruptive. She wasn't learning. She was bothering the others. She was uncontrollable. Zélie is not best pleased, but our mother does not want me looking after her this winter. She fears for my health. In fact, Elise had always had trouble with cold, and her health was not strong. I am well, but the weather is always worrying. This is a further letter from Elise, the oldest sister, writing to her brother Isidore and her sister-in-law Céline. And she describes the children, and this is an important passage. So this is Léonie at 9 years old. My little Marie is ravishingly candid, simple, and frank. Pauline is going to prepare for her first communion. Léonie, for the little time that I had her, so this was just roughly a two-month stay before she had to go home, gave me reason to hope for the future. And so this is a wise woman who is seeing beyond the appearances. She is a difficult child to bring up, and whose childhood won't be a source of pleasure. And she was right on that. But I think that in the future, she will be worth more than her sisters. Remarkable. And strikingly, you know, of the four sisters after other than Thérèse, which one's cause of canonization has been introduced? It's really interesting that Sister Marie d'Ossité could foresee some of this.
You've been listening to A Sister of St. Thérèse, Servant of God Léonie Martin, Bearer of Hope, with Father Timothy Gallagher. To hear and or to download this episode, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com, or you can find it on the Discerning Hearts free app. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts in cooperation with the Oblates of the Virgin Mary. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission, and if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for A Sister of St. Thérèse, Servant of God Léonie Martin, Bearer of Hope, with Father Timothy Gallagher.